Welcome to Under the Fig Tree podcast. In today's episode, hosts Reverend Micah Glenn and Reverend Dr. Ben Haupt sit down with a special guest as they meditate under the fig tree.
What's up, what's up, what's up? This is very strange for me. I have never introduced an episode of Under the Fig Tree podcast, and so this is the first time, and when Micah listens to this or watches this, I'm sure that it will also probably be the last time. But it's great to be with you here on Under the Fig Tree podcast. I'm the host of this episode, Dr. Ben Haupt here at Concordia Seminary. My colleague, Micah Glenn, the host of this podcast, is not able to be with us today. But we're continuing our conversation from the last week with Dr. Mark Rockenbach, who is one thing is the Doctorate of Ministry Director, the director of that program, but you also wear a lot of other hats here at Concordia Seminary. So, Dr. Rockenbach, great to have you on the show. Great to be with you again for another episode. We were convinced that you have more things to talk about than what one single episode could contain. So we want to talk a little bit about your work with the Masters of Divinity program, and really for all of our residential programs, right? Well, even our distance programs, you do quite a bit of work for students that are coming into a pastoral program or into a diaconal deaconess program. You have a title, and you have work that you do with those students. So tell us a little bit about that.
So I'm also the director of personal growth and leadership is the title.
Personal growth and leadership.
Right. I didn't create that title, but that's what it is. And basically what that means is I do a lot of the assessments of students. So we provide our students with personal assessments that they take. And then after they take them, I do a group presentation to help them understand how to interpret the results that they get. And then I'll meet with them individually. And basically what we're doing is going over the assessment, but identifying what are their strengths that they can capitalize upon and in ministry, and then what are the weaknesses that they need to work on so that they don't become stumbling blocks to them in ministry. And then they create a personal development plan to be able to find ways to be able to work upon those particular areas. So yeah, we all the residential students do that, SMP students, the deaconess online or residential, and I also do it with the Doctor of Ministry students too. They also take assessments. They're different assessments because we want to help them to be more academically focused. It's just reflecting back to them who they are.
Yeah.
And most students, when they see the assessment or I walk it through, they're like, yeah. And if I have someone that struggles or says, I don't know if that's me, I'll say, well, are you married? Why don't you share this with your wife and see what she says? And more times than not, they'll come back and say, yeah, my wife says that's how I am too. You know, so they do a pretty good job of kind of just reflecting the personality, the emotions of the person. So, because when we're shaping and forming people for ministry, we do that academically, of course, but we also have a way to do that in regards to their personality, their emotions. That's also an aspect of a minister formation.
Yeah, so these assessments, I've taken lots of different assessments, and I think I've told you before that I actually kind of enjoy this. So some of our listeners or viewers might know the Myers-Briggs. I'm maybe an ENFJ or ENFP, I think, or INFP, or the DISC profile. There's a bunch of, in some ways, the Enneagram is one of these kind of assessments. So the good thing about these is there's not like a right or wrong answer.
Correct.
Right? We're not using this to kind of weed students out and say, you answered the assessment in this way. Sorry, you're disqualified, and we're going to put you over in this drawer over here. Sometimes it does bring up things that our students might need to work on, right?
Right.
Especially this particular assessment. But it's good to know kind of where our blind spots are, how we function in the world, and especially how other people see us, mm-hmm. which is sometimes a challenge for us. We just think this is how I am in life, but other people perceive us in very different ways. So most of the time, do students, this is a pretty good experience, right? Because it's a personal learning experience.
Correct, yeah. And, you know, there's not really a box that we want people to be in, because, like, I'll have students ask me, so I rate this way, like, on the DISC assessment. Does that mean I can't be a leader? I said, no, you can be a leader. It's just how you lead is going to be different from another person.
Exactly.
And we need all kinds of different people doing ministry. I mean, if we were all the same, it'd be pretty boring, first of all.
Right.
And second of all, if we were all the same, we wouldn't all be able to minister in all the different contexts that we have, you know, in the world. So it's a matter of helping them to understand who they are so they can figure out how they're going to lead or care or, you know, do ministry based upon who they are. But there are some things that we do know that, you know, for example, if you're a very harsh or blunt person, that's not going to do well for ministry.
Right.
You know, you have to have some emotional intelligence to know how to care for people and say things in a way that's diplomatic, to use that word.
Yeah.
So there's certain things we know that just won't work if you are doing those kinds of things in ministry.
Right.
So we just help them with that. Say, okay, this you need to work on. This is how you can work on it. And we give them resources, variety of things we surround them with to be able to help them to work on a particular thing. So I always tell the students, I just met with the SMP students yesterday, and I told them this is a formation process, and you should look different at the end of this. Mm. So, like, in 4 years...
This is the beginning of the program, right?
This is just
that you do this assessment. Always happens at the beginning of a program.
Right, exactly. So you've started here, but academically, emotionally, personality, all this stuff, you'll look different at the end because we're shaping and forming you for ministry. If you don't, either we did something wrong or you did something wrong, but it really helps to shape and form them for ministries, is the idea.
This whole idea of personal formation and leadership, I think, is a fairly new approach, maybe say in the last 10 years, that we've really leaned into here at Concordia Seminary. We've always had some aspect of this, especially with the pastor's counselor class and some of these sorts of things. But I think there has been a shift from thinking about, here's all the academic content, the theological content, and the practices that you need to be a pastor. Here's the doctrine of the Lord's Supper, and here's our theology and practice of preaching, and of course our students get all of those theological and practical things. But this whole concept of personal formation, that you could know all the Lutheran doctrine, you could have an orthodox and good and helpful practice, and yet still really have some personal formation issues that end up sometimes hijacking, sometimes even completely destroying a ministry. And that's kind of looking at the harshest possibility. But our whole formation process is a really intentionally crafted thing that we've really tried to work on here at Concordia Seminary. So talk a little bit about kind of why we have embraced this new approach to paying attention to personal formation.
Well, you're right. If you're just and academics is important, you need to know your theology and your doctrine. I'm not putting that down at all, because otherwise, if we don't have that, we have nothing to share. We have no gospel to put out there if you're doing it wrong.
Right.
But what sometimes happens is how you do that, some students struggle with, possibly.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's the how that you kind of put that into practice. So if we can help them with that, and one of the most, for me, one of the most important variables, we call it emotional intelligence. that if students have high emotional intelligence, usually they'll do very well in ministry. If they have low emotional intelligence, usually they struggle a little bit. But the cool thing about emotional intelligence is you can actually improve it. You can get better.
Yeah.
So if we have students out, because, you know, there's all kinds of situations they're going to run into. And how are you, so we know certain things are sinful or wrong. Well, like living together without marriage is sinful and wrong.
Yeah.
But how do you actually sit down with a couple who's doing that and care for them in such a way that you can guide them to understand it's wrong and then help them to repent of it, receive forgiveness, and then figure out a way to do it differently? Yeah. You can do that in a very empathetic way, or you can do it in a way that's very harsh. Yeah. And if you do it in a harsh way, you're going to lose the opportunity to do ministry with them.
Right.
But if you can be empathetic towards them, you're going to have all kinds of opportunity to minister to them. So we want to be able to help students to be able to have many opportunities to work with people and learning how to do that in a more kind of empathetic focus.
Yeah, that's really helpful. I think of, you know, in our kind of the modernist approach, in some ways it kind of divorced or separated the kind of personal from all of this intellectual and head knowledge. But prior to that, these things were deeply intertwined. Mm-hmm. So the New Testament has plenty about not just doctrine, but pay attention, Paul says, to your life and practice. And it's the way that I talk about the gospel or the way that I lead a congregation through a difficult time in the congregation's life or lead a couple through a really difficult moment in their marriage or in their preparation for marriage. That makes a lot of sense. And I don't know. I think in the past, maybe people just kind of assumed that, well, these are things that you'll just learn at home or learn kind of on the way. But I think we've found that we actually need to pay attention to this stuff, right?
Well, we're just being more intentional. That might be a way to talk about it. I mean, some people are really good at it. They're naturally good at some of these things. And that's awesome. So we talk about, okay, how do you capitalize upon that and make sure, because some people are really good at it, don't realize they're really good at it.
Yeah.
But if we're more intentional about shaping and forming that, it's just going to help them in the long run. So in addition to what I do with them, then we also have, you know, we have these formation labs that meet every week. So we actually, we put the students in, I call them winkles. Pastor people out there know what that means. And we do that according to their assessment. And then they have a mentor, a professor then, that walks them through a process of knowing how to actually live and breathe as brothers and sisters together in Christ.
Yeah.
And so it's not just isolated to their assessment, but it's also how do you relate to other people? And we're actually putting them in groups to get them to learn how to do that along the way and guiding them with these mentor professors. And they're in that group the whole time they're here. And I tell them, I say, don't ask me to move you. If you don't like someone in your group, you're going to have to learn to like them.
Yeah.
So
that's part of the formation process, right?
You can't get to a congregation and say, I don't like these people, so give me a call somewhere else. That doesn't work very well. So we're creating some experiences here at seminary where, and I always said when we first put this all together, like with the formation labs that meet every week, I said, I'm kind of hoping that there will be some conflict because when that comes up, then that will give us as the professors an opportunity to model for them and teach them how to address it in a godly way, rather than just not going to the Winkle anymore or not wanting to be brothers in Christ, you know. So we're actually trying to foster that. And some people know that, you know, some of the circuit meetings or the Winkles are broken out there in the real world.
Right.
So we're trying to speak into that. And my hope is in a few years that will be thriving as people are getting together and helping each other out. And we can lead that here, you see, in that way. So what they do in these groups then, the things that they know that they're weak on, they can use these Winkel groups to be able to actually help them to work on some of these things that they're possibly weak on, with, of course, the help of this advisor professor that's also with them.
And that's because we believe in education, right? Like you said, this isn't just, oh, you fit into this personality box over here, so there's really nothing we can do with you. We believe in education. We believe that the ministry of the gospel actually changes hearts and changes the way we live our lives. That's why Paul can say things like, pay attention to your life and practice, because you can actually, by God's grace, by the forgiveness that we have in Christ, by the Holy Spirit working us, we can sometimes have a few wins and make some shifts and make some changes.
Right.
I remember a number of years ago, we sat down with some district presidents. We regularly, every other year, the faculty and all of the district presidents gather together, and we were asking the district presidents, as we were kind of reconfiguring the curriculum, revising the curriculum, rewriting it, we asked the district presidents, you know, tell us a couple of things that you think our graduates need to do better with. And as I remember the conversation, there was kind of this overwhelming plea to us to say, you know, the thing that students, that your graduates are not struggling with is Lutheran doctrine. Mm-hmm. They're good on that. They're solid on that. These are Orthodox people. We don't have people asking if the Bible is the inerrant, inspired Word of God. That's just of course it is. They're solid on our doctrines of Lutheran confessions, from Lutheran confessions on baptism or Lord's Supper. But they said, what your students need more of is formation and leadership. It's these kind of soft people skills, that it's the way that you speak the doctrine, or the way that you handle a situation, that they were kind of pleading with us. So it's not like we somehow found some new formula that's this kind of whiz-bang thing that we're doing kind of apart from the church. The church asked us, the district presidents are the ecclesiastical supervisors of all these congregations, and they asked us to spend more time on this formation program. So I want to ask about something that's famous with our students, and all of our students know that this is kind of a Dr. Rockenbach thing, and it's, you probably know where I'm going. It's the birds.
Yes.
We have a lot of fun with this. This kind of came to my mind as you were talking about our formation groups, and we'll get back to formation groups in a minute. But give us a real quick overview of the birds and what exactly this has to do with all these assessments.
So we use the DISC assessment here. A lot of people probably have taken the DISC assessment, and there's lots of different ways you can describe it. Some people do it with colors, your blue, red, green.
Yeah.
Some people say you're an otter or a golden retriever or whatever.
Right.
Well, I just found this company uses birds, and it just works so much better. So you can be an eagle. Eagles are very direct. They're to the point. They're fast-paced moving. They can be very extroverted. But eagles can sometimes move so fast that they're way too ahead of everyone else, or they run over people sometimes to be able to accomplish the thing they want to accomplish. The other bird is the parrot. So the parrot is very relational, very engaging. I always say if you're throwing a party, you want to have a parrot there, because
sure,
they're going to make it fun. They'll make the party fun.
We're missing our parrot today on Under the Fig Tree podcast.
Yeah. So, but parrots are not always they're not good at the logistics of things. They have a great idea, but they don't know how to put it into practice. And so that's some of the challenges possibly with the parrot. And then there's the dove. So I'm a dove. Dove are people who are they're very much more introverted. They don't like change. Change is difficult for them. But they're also the one that's kind of the status quo person that kind of keeps things moving and can also be very helpful with addressing conflicted situations.
Yeah.
And the last bird is the owl. The owl is the very logical bird. The owl is very analytical, loves to read, loves to do research. But sometimes the owl's not very good about interpersonal kind of things, or they get so lost in the research, they never meet the... So the owls sometimes, it's difficult for them to meet deadlines or turn in assignments because they get so into the weeds with things that, or they think there's always more data, always more things I can discover.
Yeah.
And so deadlines can be difficult. But anyway, you can end up one of those birds. So yeah, I always say when you come to campus, you could stop any student on campus and just ask them what bird they are, and they'll be able to tell you.
Right.
Every student knows what bird they are. And so it's kind of funny. Some people don't believe me when I say that. So they'll stop a student. Yeah, they knew exactly what bird they were.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And we have a lot of fun with this. So coming back to the formation labs, and you disclosed what bird you are.
Yep.
So I'm an eagle. And so guilty as charged, I suppose. But we have a lot of fun with this in our mentor groups. So I'm a mentor for some first year students this year, and I'm having a blast with it. But connecting this mentor formation experience with the birds, you intentionally put. So I think I'm the only eagle in the group. So everybody, there's not very many eagles around here. But you put me with a group of. I think we have a little bit of the other three birds. We definitely have a few parrots. They are so much fun. We definitely have some doves, and they make life, you can depend on them.
Right.
They're not going to, they're not up on stage trying to steal the show, and they're going to keep things going because they just like people. They like to be together. And then there's the owls that really like the research, and they're deep down in the weeds. And this mix is actually a lot of fun.
Right, right. Well, so first-year students take the DISC assessment before they ever show up on campus.
Yeah.
And then I sit down, and I know what the results are, and I decide what groups are going to be in for these Winkle groups based upon their results. So I sit there with these little pieces of paper, everyone's name and their combination. And my administrative assistant says that it looks like if you ever watch Harry Potter and, you know, they're deciding what house to put in, they put the hat on them.
Yeah, the sorting hat.
So she says, so she got me one of those sorting hats. Yes. Says I should sit there and wear it, you know, when I'm doing this. But you're sorting
them. Hufflepuff.
Yeah. So, yeah, they're going to end up, and I don't even know them. I just know the results. But the idea is we don't want, like, all the doves in one group or all the eagles in one group. Want them to be able to experience different personalities and different people and know how best to relate to them, not to just simply ignore them or walk away, although we may feel that way sometimes. But if we can help them know how to relate to other people who are not like me, like a dove, I have to figure out how to relate to an eagle. I can't just ignore you. And in ministry, you have to do that too. There's going to be all kinds of birds in your congregation. So if you can better learn how to relate to them and care for them, preach to them, teach to them, that's just going to be huge for ministry.
Yeah. And this that's the way it is out in the church. There probably has never been and probably never will be a church full of doves
or
a church full of there certainly won't be a church full of eagles.
Right. There's not very many of you.
Right, right. There's not very many of us and eagles. Eagles are funny because sometimes eagles can hang together for a little bit until we have a disagreement, and then we'll kind of go our separate ways. I think we saw a bald eagle flying over campus the other day.
Oh, really?
And so eagles are we're unique birds. But we also then take so we have this formation group weekly. You're meeting with this group of people, and what I've loved about it is I don't have to give these students that are in my formation lab a grade.
Right.
It's pass or fail, and the only thing you have to do to pass is show up.
Yep.
And what we've had is the opportunity for me to, I feel a little bit pastoral again, where I get to sit with, I loved this in the parish, sitting with people, though I'm an eagle, I loved sitting with people and just talking through all the things going on. So I've had one student who had very academic things that he wanted to talk about. I've had another student that had some personal things that he wanted to talk about. And as a mentor, I just get to be sort of a mentor.
Right.
I don't have to give them a grade. They have this safe place where if they are struggling with an assignment, they can come and talk to me, and I can kind of help them with things. It's been tremendously gratifying for me, and I guess it's been helpful because students are making appointments outside of the required time that we're together, and they're finding time just to hang out. So
right.
That's tremendously helpful.
Well, not having to give them a grade or grade papers, and for them not having to do that, it's not a course, but yet it's required for them to do every week.
Yeah.
And it's part of shaping them, forming them in a different way.
Yeah.
So hopefully they'll have a holistic shaping and forming when they leave the seminary. Rather than just focus on one aspect, we focus on a variety of different aspects of their formation.
And then they have this time during the weekly gathering where they pair off, in a group of like four or five, and they have some time just with those four or five fellow students, and they get to talk through a little bit of scripture together, and then they'll have typically some kind of prompt that they're talking about. Mm-hmm. And I'm not in that group, and it's been fun to every once in a while I'll pop my head in and say, "How you doing?" And they're just cutting up, having a great time, right. Talking, and I think that this is really helpful because seminary can be a lonely experience. Mm-hmm. We know that it can be kind of spiritually depleting, mm-hmm. as strange as that sounds. Sometimes people come to the seminary and they actually struggle in their faith, and the mentor formation groups are really an opportunity to make sure that we're working on all those
right.
Those things other than just the academic skills.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. So then there's other places throughout the curriculum where we draw on these issues. So how do you follow students as the director of personal growth and leadership? How do you follow students through the curriculum in a way that continues to help them in their growth?
So they'll make personal development plans for themselves initially the first year, right? But then they're also going to be making goals for vicarage or internship if they're in the deaconal program. Yeah. And so those goals are then shared with the supervisors so that they know certain things they need to work on. So in that real-life kind of internship vicarage experience, hopefully the supervisor can create opportunities for them to work on these certain things.
Yeah.
So it's more intentional, directional. So it's not like you just go on vicarage to experience it, but there's certain things you know that you need to work on. And so they can work on that. And then when they come back from vicarage or internship, if they need some more help, we definitely can assist and help them. Another thing that we started doing is we offer the DISC assessment also for all the spouses.
Mm, yeah.
So the second year that the students are here, if they're spouse to one of our MDiv students, they can take the assessment. I review it for them in the evening, and the second week, their husbands come back, and we start talking about how they can understand the DISC assessment in connecting to the people they're going to meet on vicarage. And that's important because, again, if you're married, you have to do this in connection to your spouse.
Right.
And so we're actually offering all kinds of resources also to the spouse as well in this formation process so that they can understand that not everyone in the congregation is going to be like doves and how to respond to that and how they can do that as a couple. So we offer that also. The DISC also, we There is a premarital program in the care course we have them take called Symbis. A part of that program that they get certified in to use also uses the DISC assessment. Mm. So they get to learn, okay, first they learn about themselves what it means, but then they start. We start transitioning, learning, okay, now when you're out in ministry and you're the pastor, how are you going to use like the birds and that assessment in premarital counseling to help other people to understand their marriage and setting them up hopefully for a good, faithful, godly marriage? So it ends up being in all kinds of different places in the curriculum itself. And we did that intentionally on purpose. So it's not just a one-time thing and done, but you're going to run into it, bump into it in other things that you do here at the seminary.
Yeah, my wife has taken it, and Selena definitely has a parrot side to her. Yep. And so early on in our relationship, I remember she loved to go to parties and loved to be with big groups of people and to go dancing or whatever. And well, eagles just don't see the point. What's the point of that? You know, I'm trying to accomplish something here, and if I'm not trying to accomplish something here, sometimes that just looks like complete nothingness.
Right. Waste of time.
Sit down and just do nothing. And so we struggled early on, like, did I not like her because I didn't want to go to parties? But come to find out, these are just personality differences. Right. And I wasn't trying to be mean or I do sometimes go to parties with her because she's a parrot and that's what she likes to do, and I enjoy that some. But it was helpful for us to see, oh, this isn't like a marital flaw.
Right.
It's simply we're two different people. We have different approaches to life. We like different things, and that's okay.
Well, you can demonize each other for that.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
You're an eagle, so you're terrible because you're an eagle and I demonize you. That's not helpful. It's better to find out how you can complement each other.
Yeah.
Because there are things that I'm not good at that someone else is. So like I am not a parrot. So I always say like the seminary like will invite me to go to something where I'm supposed to just socialize with a group of people. I hate that.
Yeah.
If you have me come to a presentation, I can do a presentation. But just sitting there or standing there talking about nothing for hours upon end, that stresses me out. But there are other people who are really good at that, like your wife.
Yeah.
And they can. So how do you figure out how you can use people according to their strengths in ministry so that it's a complement to the ministry rather than them feeling guilty or shame? You know, it's kind of like you have greeters, you know, at church sometimes. That's not my thing. So if you put someone there to be a greeter and you force them to do it, they may not come back to church. But that person may be very good at running the soundboard, or they may be very good at doing something behind the scenes.
Yeah.
So if you can figure out what bird they are, then you can figure out how to get people included in ministry and do ministry in a way that actually complements their particular strengths that they have.
Yeah, and there's other times where the congregation might be dealing with a conflict, or two people in the congregation are dealing with a conflict, and a lot of people would say, oh gosh, I don't want to have anything to do with that. Right. I just want to get out of that room as quickly as possible. And you probably stroll in and think, huh, I think I could help.
I loved it.
This sounds like fun.
I went in the district office, I walked in the conflict all the time. My wife thought I was silly. Why would you even want to do that? But as a dove, I love doing that kind of thing. And just to be there with people and help them to find reconciliation. So there's things I can do that other people can't do.
Yeah.
How do we complement each other and not demonize each other?
Yeah.
I think that's an important thing to understand and to then put into practice.
Well, and so much of this, I think, this is reminding me of what Paul says in Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12, where Paul is talking about the body, and he's talking about these different approaches, not as just kind of psychological, in the psychological lenses, personality kind of stuff, but as gifts of the Spirit, that the Holy Spirit has actually gifted somebody to have a certain approach and to see that person and their uniqueness and their unique the way that they approach problems as this is a tremendous gift of God.
Right.
It becomes a really beautiful thing rather than I just don't understand this person. Right. They're so weird.
Right. Or being jealous of someone that has something you don't have.
Also true.
That doesn't help either. Yeah. But you're right. When we can look at it that way, it does become very beautiful. And the opportunities then that we have to do ministry and care for people, it just will open up to all kinds of things then.
Yeah. Well, I am very grateful that you are on our faculty. You have brought a tremendous skill set and expertise in this area, and I think our students are better human beings, better children of God, more confident in who God has made them to be because of these formation experiences. And my hope is that at the end they're healthier mm-hmm. as they go out into ministry, so that they can be focused on the ministry of the gospel and not letting their own personality kind of get in the way, but rather using it as the gifts that God has given to them. Yep. So that's I think really helpful. It's especially good for our prospective students. So I want to talk a little bit about that for a minute. So thinking about somebody who's never been to seminary, who doesn't know much about the Masters of Divinity program, maybe they've been listening for a bit, they've never taken any assessments, do they need to do a whole bunch of stuff before they get to seminary, or what would you suggest to a prospective student who is maybe hearing about some of this stuff for the first time? Do they need to do anything? Where would you, if somebody said, how do I prepare for all this stuff? I know, you know, I can read Luther's Large Catechism or something to prepare for the doctrinal stuff, or I can work on my Greek and Hebrew. How about in this kind of personal area? What would you recommend?
Well, you know, taking assessment, there's nothing you can do to prepare for it. Because as you
That's
said before...
That's a really helpful answer.
There's no right or wrong answer.
Yeah.
Because it's just reflecting your personality. And we have lots of different personalities around. Yeah. And we need that. So there's nothing you can do. You just be honest about it and realize this is going to help me to be able to figure out how I can do better or capitalize on the things that I'm good at. So there's nothing that you need to do. And as I said before, the biggest thing is just find ways to get involved in ministry.
Yeah,
find ways to be with people and care for them. And I think one of the challenges is some people think they got to fix everyone, and ministry is not about fixing people.
Yeah.
It's actually just about being present with them.
Yeah.
And if you can be present with them and learn how to do that in a way that's caring, I think you'll find that will help the people a lot. And you'll also receive something from that as well. So yeah, there's nothing in this world, I guess, that you can prepare for. Just look forward to it.
Yeah.
Look forward to the opportunity of being shaped and formed in this way. Because some people may be surprised by it and like, oh my goodness, what does all this mean? I mean, got to take this assessment. And no, it's just look forward to it as a way, as part of the shaping and forming you for ministry. So if you have that kind of an attitude, it'll be fine. It's the people who say, I hate assessments, or I don't care what it says, I'm not going to change. People just got to find a way to work around me. That's not going to go very well for you. So have an open attitude that you're going to learn from this, and it's actually going to be helpful to you at the end of the day.
I think it's probably tremendously great news for some of our prospective students, because we give lots of assignments and I suppose that's what eagles do, but really good news to hear. Hey, in this area, there's really not any preparation you can do. If anything, be curious about who you are and how you interact with the world, how you attend to yourself, as we say in the practical theological framework. But really, the good news is just show up. We'll lead you through it, and it's a lot of fun, and I think students at the end of it say, I know a little bit more about myself and who I am, and they're more confident in who they are as a baptized child of God.
Right, so, exactly.
Dr. Rockenbach, thank you so much. This is a really interesting part of our MDiv and Deaconess SMP curriculum, and it's been a unique angle for our prospective students. So thanks for making time to be with us. We will continue on, listeners and viewers, in Under the Fig Tree podcast. I am certain that Reverend Micah Glenn will be back next time to take the reins back from me, and he'll probably even have a few words to share with me about how I opened and how I closed this podcast, and I'll be happy to give it back to the parrot as the expert in this. But it's been great to be with you. God bless. Have a great week.